Spot Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. I just love it whenever I see any screenshot, any mention, anybody reach out to me about seeing that Pella commercial with your boy on it on TV, because my experience with Pella and all the people there are fantastic. The showroom, the service they provided, the finished product, everything was first class the whole way. Check Pella out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Shoot 360 Lincoln. My brother and I are the owners. It's a membership-based national franchise that is a basketball training facility that uses NBA-level technology that gives you feedback after every shooting and passing and ball handling rep you take inside of the facility. Make sure you check out Shoot360Lincoln.com. That is the website, and you check out the website, and here's what you need to do. You need to just click on Request a Free Workout. It's a free one-hour workout, and you fill out the tab of I'm interested in becoming a member. It's just a free workout. Come check it out. Come see what 30 minutes of ball handling on our passing walls and all that stuff looks like, and 30 minutes of shooting in our shooting bays and using the facility looks like. So go to shoot360.com, click Request Free Workout, click I'm interested in becoming a member, and we will set up a one-hour workout with you at Shoot 360 Lincoln, so go check it out. And this pod is brought to you by the Autograph app. The Autograph app was co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady, and this app is amazing, man. Think of it as like a rewards program, but for being a fan and doing what you do as a fan in terms of reading and listening to podcasts, consuming different content. And the more you use it, the more points you earn, which then unlocks rewards for you. Download the Autograph app in the App Store and use the code BAW. My last name, BAW, B-A-H-E. That's code BAW. Download the Autograph app today. All right, we're here. Nick Bob Beaurude in the house. This is long overdue. I apologize to everybody. I mean, over the course of the last month, the amount of emails, tweets of like, dude, where are you guys at? What's going on here?
We just have been off the grid, man. We're off the grid. Basketball season, you go off the grid.
Yes.
And this was I had the move.
I was going to say, for people, you moved into a new house that you had to remodel. You also have two little girls.
Yep.
You have had a lot going on. I looked at it from between February 5th and March 29th. I spent 32 nights in a hotel and took 29 flights.
Whoa.
So, like, I've been 32 nights in a hotel, 29 flights from Boise to Burlington, Vermont, and everything in between.
And that's in basically in 2 months?
Basically a two-month span.
So a month in a hotel in 2 months.
Yes.
One of two.
Yes. Yeah. So I felt so bad. I left to go on the road to call a couple of conference championship games, and I literally am looking at my pod equipment, and I'm like, nothing crazy is going to happen. I'm just going to I'll leave my pod equipment at home. Then when I get back home, I'll get back into the pod. And what happens? The first day I'm on the road in Boise, Trev Alberts out of nowhere leaves. So
did anybody in the world
see that coming?
Well, see that coming in, like, me and you, like, a theme through all of our pods the last couple of years was, isn't Trev Alberts just doing the best job? Like, we just were in love with the job Trev was doing.
I know. And so it was, people throw out, we're all like, everything's unbelievable and shocking. Like, this was, to me, truly shocking.
This was out of left field. This was not, there's no way you could predict this.
So we'll let's talk about this. We'll get to some spring football stuff, but one of the reasons it felt shocking was it kind of felt like Nebraska athletics. Didn't it feel like it was like,
we got some mojo.
Yeah. Like, everything was trending in the right direction. Fred Hoiberg and the boys getting it rolling, going to the tournament. Nebraska women going to the tournament. They knocked off Iowa. They upset Caitlin Clark. Volleyball is still a machine. Yeah. Trev Alberts had hired Matt Rhule. You had landed Dylan Raiola. Like, it seemed like everything was kind of like the bricks had been laid for, like, okay, things are, here it comes.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, this is some of the offseason hype machine, but like, the basketball stuff's real. The volleyball stuff's real. And I'm guilty of it every off season, so take this for what it is.
Well, everybody.
But I feel like things feel pretty good with the football program. They do. They feel good. And that's where it's like, this seems all the more shocking because of that.
Well, and so the first question, and I still feel like there's been breadcrumbs here and there with, like, you know, whether the political nature of things infiltrating the university or whatever, like, I still don't feel like I have a great answer as to why.
I don't either. It's not clear to me.
I don't know. I mean, because for my first thought when it happened was like, man, how bad must it be there if Trev Alberts basically chose to trash his reputation at his alma mater to go be the athletic director at Texas A&M. Like, you know, you pro con something on, like, yeah. All right, here we go. This is the dilemma here. We're going to pro con it. The con is I'm going to completely screw up my reputation at my alma mater where I played and was an all-time great. I'm going to screw up my reputation as an athletic director. And he already made a lot of enemies at UNO with cutting football and wrestling and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, this pretty much severs, like, the state of Nebraska, I'm not sure, is ever going to fully wrap their arms around Trev Alberts ever again.
Here's the thing. I really like Trev, and I think he put in a tough decade at UNO. Yeah. I always felt like, to me, like, I always saw, like, oh, he did that because he wanted to get to here. He wanted to get back to UNL. I always feel like he did the UNO thing. Like, I made some tough decisions there, took the heat, wrote it out, tried to lay a foundation at UNO to get back here. So that's where, I guess, when he got here, I was like, okay, we're in good hands for the next however long. But I don't know. I thought about that, him leaving, and I just thought about, like, okay, like, explain this to me, somebody. Like, and I think there is some aspect of, like, when you get to whatever place you want to get to,
right?
Especially if it's a difficult place to get to, it's less what people think it will be in terms of, like, oh, I've made it, now it's time to just be like, I am here, bask in it. I think the people that are wired to get to a place, when they're there, there's usually the next place they want to get to.
Yeah. What's the next thing?
Yeah.
And I think I completely agree. I think there was an element of him that he is a what's next guy. And yeah, that's what you read different people that are in the know, that they feel like, you know, maybe he's eyeing some sort of commissioner job for whatever, yeah, the new iteration of what college football will be or whatever. And maybe he felt like this was the next step to that. I don't know.
SEC, more money, boosters are, it's that oil money. It's the crazy money. Yeah. I think it's just like,
Jimbo Fisher's buyout was like $70 million or something.
Get it, take it, get out. Like, but then it's the super commissioner. Like, I see Trev, so there's two parts. I'd say, you could say, that's one is, I can see Trev, like, with the bigger ambition to be like the Roger Goodell of the Super League. Or, like, I don't know. I think Trev's the guy, like, I look at him, he looks like he could be, like, the governor of some state or a senator or something. Or, like, maybe he has those kind of ambitions. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's either that, or there was some sort of, like, issue with the leadership within Nebraska, and the sense of, like, I did hear, like, he had a bunch of different bosses he reported to. And that was an issue where at Texas A&M, it's like the general guy that he was talking with, that's, I think, the president of the university there, basically was like, you report to me, you have one. But I think that
I think there's no question. When he took the job, Ronnie Green was the chancellor. Ronnie Green retires. Ted Carter was the president. Ted Carter leaves, goes to Ohio State. The people that he was going to be working for were gone, and they were taking a long time to find somebody. I say long time in relative terms. It takes a while to hire a university president. Certainly that vacancy was probably stressful for him. I will say, and I mean, I hate to do this on a pod where I speak cryptically, and I can talk to you a little bit about this stuff off the air. Some of the people I've talked to, surprisingly, I don't know if Trev was as well liked internally as you may have thought he was.
I don't know.
Not saying you, but like you, I mean, like you, the general, the wider you. I think there's some people that felt like, I mean, I think Trev has everything from his haircut to his look. Like, there's an element of, like, almost too perfect with
him. That's why he's very polished. Like he. That's why I think he could do bigger things if he did want to, because he is like, I respect it. Like, he is professional. He's polished. Like, he is very capable. And some people might not like that he's plays
that
it
buttoned
close
up
to
and
the
yeah.
vest and buttoned up. But like, if you want to do big things, you have to have that ability almost.
Right.
But.
So I guess for me, when the news hit, and this is the advantage of literally recording a pod, reacting to it a month later, like coming up next, we'll recap. Have you seen Forrest Gump? It's really good. But, like, we're reacting to things here.
This just in, the miracle, 1980. The U.S. just beat the Russians. Can you believe it? Next on the pod.
We should do a pod of you and I reacting to things that happened.
We landed
ago,
on the moon.
Yeah. Biggest news from a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's a good pod. You'd be like, how about this? We're acting like we've never heard it before. But so I felt like when it happened, I was like, man, this isn't going to be good. And I don't feel quite as concerned now. I do have to be, we can't be disingenuous, so Troy Dannon, I have no clue what kind of athletic director he is. I had never heard of Troy Dannon, so I don't want to be disingenuous here and be like, I think Troy Dannon is going to be great. I don't know. He seems great. He looks like a,
it's fine, I think he's an Iowa guy.
Yes.
Himself, he understands the Midwest, he understands the people here, no doubt, but he doesn't know Nebraska and our specific program the way Trev, it was in Trev's DNA, his soul. He understood what this place is and what needed to happen. I really do think that. I think he really understood the messaging, helped Matt Rhule convey that. I really think that's part of what was so, like, helped everything kind of fire in all cylinders, is Trev had a good, he was lasered in on what this place needed. I mean, Troy Dannon, I don't know him yet, but like, he's not going to be as dialed in as Trev is with understanding that. Now, maybe he has some great ideas that will help us, but like,
sure,
that's just like, it's just like anything. It's not fair to compare the two right now, because like, Trev had so much experience with Nebraska. He was at UNO. I mean, he was living it. You know?
The reality is this, as long as football wins and Matt Rhule likes Troy Dannon, everything's gonna be fine.
It'll be okay.
Everything's gonna be fine. So, like, because I mean, the one concern you get is like, okay, Matt Rhule, when he came here, he had been on record all the time of being like, he loved Ted Carter and he loved Trev Alberts. Like, those were the two people that he always talked about being aligned with, and the reason he took the job. Well, I mean, here we are, less than 18 months into it, and both those people are no longer here. So you wonder, like, oh man, let's hope. Now Rhule has done a good job of like reiterating like his commitment to this place, which is what he needed to do. But I think as long as Rhule likes Dannon and Rhule is successful, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think so. I think Matt Rhule, like, I think that the issue will be if Matt Rhule can get things going well.
Yeah,
then it becomes, if the offer, because right now it's like, I don't know if everybody's banging down his door yet.
No,
but if he wins here and wins, like if he makes a lot of progress here, he will have some big suitors.
I mean, think about
always coming for him, and that's where the relationships matter more. Is not maybe right at this, like the moment, like April 8th,
yes,
or whatever the date is,
April 7th,
the 7th of 2024. But maybe it's like, you know, April of 2026, after we just had a couple of really good seasons. It's like, you know, that to me is where, you know, having the right leadership in the place for Matt Rhule to feel like, oh no, actually I do want to stay here long term.
So we'll see. I mean, it's weird how even after a month after the fact, like you've kind of gotten some puzzle pieces to exactly what was going on, but there isn't necessarily like a clear cut answer as to. Well, I think it was probably a bunch of different things working at once. I just know that for me, I don't feel as like, code red as I did when it happened. And maybe it's just because they moved fast. It was like, boom, they hired Dan. Like, everything happened quickly.
That was a smart move, which is surprising because it seemed like they couldn't hire anybody to fill those other positions fast, but they filled that position.
I know,
so
it's
fast.
It's odd. It is. I don't. It's an interesting growing up, and for people that didn't grow up when we grew up in the, you know, born in 84 and you know, grew up in Lincoln in the 90s, and obviously you played for Nebraska. Like, two of the biggest names and Husker legends growing up were Scott Frost and Trev Alberts, and they both have come back. And both, it didn't go well for Scott. He gets fired, and then Trev leaves. It's just it's exciting to come back to where you were a legend, but there's a risk of, like, if it doesn't go well or something, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like you run the risk of it spoiling something. Now, I do think, like, I think I've seen some people after the fact, like, who is going to get welcomed back first, Scott Frost or Trev Alberts? Like, I think Scott Frost by a country mile.
You know?
I do. I mean, Scott at least didn't, like, I mean, you can paint it however you want to. Trev quit on Nebraska.
Yeah.
Scott didn't quit. I mean, it just, he came here and it didn't work.
Yeah.
I think those are two different, I get how you're lumping them together, like I just did, because they're two Husker icon players, but, like, I think as time passes, I think you're going to feel very different about both those guys. Now, maybe if Rhule goes on to bigger and better things, you'll look back on Trev and be like, well, he found Rhule, so you know what, like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I to me, it's like they both came in and, like, nobody did, like, they did things the right way, and I don't think they, you know, they didn't do anything disgraceful. So it's like, I don't know. I always feel like bad even be like, we will not. It's like, of course, welcome them back. Like, they're all right. Should be like, it shouldn't be that, like, I don't like that feeling at all.
No, I think we maybe go overboard with that. I was more speaking to, like, the
fan.
I know how fans are. Like, I mean, there's fans that truthfully, like, never hope Scott Frost never shows his face again in Lincoln. And it's like, okay. Or Trev Alberts is like, I mean, I think Larry the Cable Guy called him Benedict Arnold.
Did
he? I think so. Like, I mean, it's like, it's a little much, you know, but, like, that's how a lot of people felt about it. And so I'll wrap up by again reiterating, like, I feel way better about everything right now than I did when it first happened.
Agreed.
I'm not as like, oh my God.
It seems like everything just kind of, like, calmed down.
Right. So. It's amazing how, like, major turbulence hit.
Yeah.
And then the plane got smoothed out, and now it feels like the captain just turned off the fasten seatbelt signs, and you can move about the cabin.
We're
like,
okay.
It's like, okay. We're everything's okay. By the way, real quick, before we get into the seven things I want to learn more about with spring football, you brought up, like, the whole, like, feels like, Kimmer, how you put it with the football program, like, things are in the right place or heading in the right direction. I think I've said this to you before, I always think it's important to snapshot and remember how you felt after the Iowa game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pissed another game away. Chuba Purdy throws the interception. Iowa runs the ball up the middle, squirts it for like 30 yards. They get into field goal range. Their backup kicker kicks a game-winning field goal to end Nebraska's season. Nebraska finishes 5-7. They lose four in a row in the year. It's amazing to really try to, like, capture and bottle up that emotion of how you felt about everything then and contrast it with how you feel now. And it is amazing how much different those two feelings are. I guess my question is that flip and that change warranted? Are you more in, I do sense some people are a little bit in show me mode with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think it's warranted to have that big of a contrast in,
without winning a game in between those?
Yeah. I mean, but
no, it's probably not warranted.
Though.
It's not warranted, but, like, you know, I feel like sometimes we just need a little time. I mean, that's like,
yeah,
you say a month out, like, okay, it's a few months after the Iowa game. And I do think it all comes down to, how would we be feeling right now if we didn't land Raiola? Very different. I think it's the Raiola thing has put us all in a, like, a different, like, mind space.
I agree.
It's like, you just feel like, you know, hey, there's a lot of things we've been missing, but the biggest thing is, like, a quarterback that can take you somewhere, and we've got the number one quarterback in the country.
It feels like number one by a long, wide margin is Raiola. Keeping Tony White as well. And then something about like the Ty and Polar Bear coming back. Like that four, that like
Gifford, Ben Hart,
like
those four,
like that kind of whole, the player, four players coming back combined with Tony White and then Raiola, like yeah. that has led to like some real, like that isn't necessarily just like fabricated optimism with those people coming back.
Yeah. Those guys are a stabilizing force on that team, right? Yes. They're all like, they're kind of all the same kind of guys, right? Like they're like, you know, Midwestern,
yes,
like guys have been like 3-year starters. You know what you're going to get. And it'll bring just stability to everyone because they're very much like grounded people.
Right.
They're all very grounded, like, you know, kind of like humble guys that are like, they're going to go to work and they're going to do their job. Like, and everybody will kind of follow suit a little bit of that.
Yeah. So
that's what they do.
I really tried. Like I remember watching the field goal go through the uprights in that Iowa game. And I really tried. I tried to like get outside of myself and be like, Nick, try to remember how you feel about everything right now. Just as an interesting like thing to file save as for later. And even though I definitely feel better about things now, I do think it's good to maybe every once in a while like be like, hey, let's not forget that this is a 5-7 team that lost 4 in a row, pissed away a lot of close games. But at the same time, there are tangible, valid reasons for the whole vibe around the program to feel like the arrow is trending up.
I do think I've never seen better messaging in my whole life than Matt Rhule's ability to just like message to the fans. Like I don't know how good this team is, but Matt Rhule makes me feel like they're doing all the right things. I don't know if they are. I really don't.
Right.
I mean, I'm not, I'd love to go down there and like watch some practices, like watch them work out, watch them. I'd love to see it actually.
Yeah.
I have not. I just am like, I'm going off of like Matt Rhule quotes and I'm like, dang, does he quote well? Like, does he just says all the things. I'm like, that's so well put.
It is.
You know, he's got a gift, and that is part of this why I feel good is like he knows how to make you feel good.
I couldn't agree more. So, so
I don't know if it's real.
So, okay, 7 things I want to learn more about in spring football. The first one is obviously Dylan Raiola, but there are like 5 things within Raiola. So it's really like 12 things, but like Raiola is a big one. I think the first thing, and we're probably not going to be able to learn a ton, but maybe we will. You and I have talked about this. When you come in as the hot shot recruit, I bet he is immediately, I bet he's the highest paid guy on the team.
Yes.
I don't know that for a fact, but I'd be surprised if anybody's making him as a bigger NIL deal than he does.
Yeah.
And team knows that. He gets all the love publicly. He's got to back all that up with a very good spring. And not just in terms of his play, but like winning over his teammates behind the scenes. I hope we get some sense of that. Yeah. I don't know if we will, but that was kind of the first thing I wrote down of like, man, I hope he's like, he's busting his ass in the weight room. He's busting his ass in conditioning. And he's just, you know how that is, where like a guy comes in, they work, they're one of the guys, and everybody in that locker room seems to gravitate towards
him. Yeah, I mean, the nightmare is like if your quote-unquote best player is a prima donna or entitled, or, you know, they just have like a weird personality or like an odd duck, where I don't get that sense with him. I think, you know, it seems like everything's been going good, and he seems to be everywhere. Like he's going to events, like supporting,
yep,
you know, like I get good vibes from the kid. I mean, it seems like he's a good kid and everybody likes him.
The other thing I wrote down was, I am one of these people, and I don't want to go overboard with this, and he had one the other day, a press conference. Like, I think for a quarterback, when you're in a vocal position, you're in a leadership position, not saying you have to get up there and be, you know, John F. Kennedy or Barack Obama or, you know, some incredible, or Matt Rhule even.
Yeah.
But there is a part of, like, one of the always troubling things for me was, like, when Taylor Martinez would get up and speak, you just were like, that's the quarterback?
Yeah, you just what you do is this. This is sad to say, but you question their mind a little bit.
Yeah,
right. You like question like, are they capable of like delivering, because they can't speak to the media the way you kind of expect them to. Like, doesn't mean they can't play, but that position, it's like it makes you question things.
Yes, and so I thought the first impression of him in the press conference, he checked a lot of the boxes that I wanted to hear. Yeah. I thought Danny Kalin also came across well in his few moments at the podium. But I think that stuff kind of matters. Does this person who's going to be your starting quarterback more than likely, like, can this person command a room? Is he a good communicator?
Yeah.
Like, what does all that look like? And I don't know how many more opportunities we're going to get to like listen to him and watch him speak, but I do think that position requires a little bit more than others.
And he's a freshman. They're letting him and Kalin speak, which tells you it tells me what the coaches think of them, right? So when you get freshmen that they're like, they're not letting him talk to freshmen. Okay, that's one thing. It's like, they're not letting him talk to that guy and he's a sophomore. It's like, they don't want that guy talking.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's
right, because
like,
God knows what he's going to say.
They put in new rules we can't let this quarterback speak yet because he doesn't know how. Like, that's usually a sign. Like, so it's usually a good sign if they're saying, no, freshmen, go out there and talk. It usually means you can.
Yes. Third thing. I can't wait to get more of this. Without being able to see practices and you only get to see the spring game, one way you can kind of learn about what's going on behind the scenes is what do the teammates say in the press? What do the other coaches say? I can't wait to, as the spring goes on and we're a couple of weeks away from the spring game, what does the rest of the team and the other coaches say about Dylan Raiola? Like, is it clear based on what those guys are saying? Like, he's having a good spring. He's impressing people.
Yeah,
I'm curious what that. I think that matters too.
Yeah,
or I not think, matters. I hope to hear more about
with him. With him and the talent that he, you know, supposedly has, right? And I think he probably does. I would think by the end of spring, you'd start to hear rumblings of like, something looks very different about Dylan in terms of like, he's doing things we haven't seen before because we've never had a number one recruit quarterback. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've never had like the big time ability at that position that, you know, it's so I'll be surprised if you don't hear like strong, you know, like, oh man, so like, we just, you wait on this kid. He's about to
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, and I know that's kind of putting a lot of, like, you're at the mercy of just what Ty Robinson says to Steve Sippel in a press conference or what, you know, one of the position coaches says. But, like, if some guy is really lighting it up.
For instance, Trey Palmer, I remember people were like, Trey, we got a receiver. Like,
yes.
It was pretty quick that Trey Palmer was like, one, this guy's very confident. You got that?
Yes.
People said that, and it's like, man, this guy's good. He is fast. He's real. Like, you heard that pretty quick. So, now this quarterback position is different. They got to, like, learn the schemes. They got to, like, it's a little bit trickier to be, like, dialed in on that. I get the sense that him and Kalin are like pretty advanced for freshman quarterbacks, just from a few things I've read. But I haven't heard, like, you're right, the rave reviews have not come in.
I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. I want to hear, and I hope we hear. Now, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, God, didn't hear any rave reviews at the end of spring. He's not going to work. I'm not saying that, but like, I do hope that over the course of the next few weeks, we start to hear, like, this dude's got a cannon, or what he is doing, he's making some throws that are just, you know, those kinds of things. Because you bring up Trey Palmer, I remember the spring of, so this would have been Bo Pelini's third year, going into his third year, there was all this rumblings about this guy Taylor Martinez.
Yeah,
and Bo always was the, like, he would always poo-poo it all, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember I was on the air with Schick and Nick, and just, you heard all, like, dude, this guy Martinez is, like, apparently, people can't run him down. They can't tackle him. He is just shredding the defense every day in spring practice. And then you coupled those rumblings with the first time you saw him like run in the spring game, and you went like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping I get like we get the same ingredients where you start to hear these rumblings about Dylan, and then he uncorks like a, you know, a 70-yard bomb, you know, some sort of throw in the spring game that you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get some of that equation.
Yep.
That goes into one of the other things I wrote down of just like, can't wait to watch him move and operate and throw in a spring game. It's like, I can't wait to see what it looks like. But I'll finish with this here on Raiola. What is your... And I don't know if some people like Steve Sipple or whoever like to... They always have to play this game because you do kind of got to play this game. Of not necessarily just saying he is for sure going to be the starter. Like, what is your level of confidence that game one, Dylan Raiola as a true freshman is going to be the starter? If you had to put a percentage on it.
90%.
I put 95. And
10% injuries or miscellaneous reasons. I mean, that stuff can come up.
Or, like, for some reason, it just doesn't.
Yeah, he wants a little more time. Yeah. Who knows, right?
Because I'll admit, we're both doing a lot of assuming with him.
Yeah.
You know, to say we're sitting here like, hey, this guy's going to be the starter. But I also, like, as I say that, keep in mind, Nebraska's offense last year was the worst it's been in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska led the country in turnovers. Heinrich Harburg was pretty meh. Danny Kalen had just an okay senior year at Bellevue West. Raiola's got the hype. He's got the name. And because of all those, he's got like pretty shaky competition.
Yeah.
It would kind of shock me if he's not the starter.
It's possible, but I mean, I just see it happening. To me, it's like there's less games that need to be played. Like it's, if he's got the goods, he'll play. That's all there is to it.
Right.
I mean, if he's got the goods, he's there early, he's getting the reps, he's been preparing for this, like, all, like, he's way advanced in terms of, like, his family's kind of been prepping him for this.
Right.
Versus, like, most of us came out of high school, Nick, like, we're like slappies, dude. We were just, like, high school kids. Like, we were doing our senior year, like, having fun in the spring and... And then the summer, you just like show up and you're like, okay, now I got to learn all about, like, he's going to be, he was advanced before he got to Nebraska. And then he's got the full senior, you know, sorry, the second semester of this year to like acclimate, yeah. Then a full off-season summer program. I mean, like, he's just going to be ahead.
The thing that helps him too is this defense being as good as it is on paper and the first five games of the schedule, really the first three for sure. All that stuff lends itself to like Dylan Raiola doesn't need to be Peyton Manning right from the jump.
No.
But so you have your first three games at home, UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa. Then first four, and then Illinois. And then you're on the road at Purdue. Those are your first five games of the season. Like it just lends itself for Dylan Raiola to just like break in a new quarterback and let him totally get comfortable before obviously the second half of the season is for real. But I'd be moderately shocked if he's not the starter. Like you said, it would take like some sort of unforeseen set of circumstances. Okay, that's the Raiola thing. Sticking with the quarterback of what I want to learn. I wonder at the end of the spring, if we'll learn more about how Rhule feels about his quarterback situation from the standpoint of, like, is he ready to just roll into the season with the three quarterbacks, with Raiola, Kalen, and Harburg, or does he need to go get another? Now, I don't know who this would be because I'm not sure there's any great portal guy sitting there that understands that he's going to come in and probably not start, but do you need to go get another quarterback?
I think you'll learn a lot about We're going to learn a lot about Raiola this first spring, but I think we're also going to learn a lot about Kalen. Because, like, to me, I think he's going to be important in all this. I don't know why I have this, like, feeling about him. Like, this, like the other guy kind of, you know, whatever that is. Like, throughout history, that guy can sometimes, like, sneaky become the most important guy.
Well, kind of, like, I mean, it's not completely apples to apples, but it kind of was like, Dylan's Tommy and maybe Daniel Kalen is Brooke. Like you
I was
need like
say the same thing. Like it, like maybe Kalen is Brooke Behringer and like you don't need him for a few years, but like if they don't need like, but that's just all that's saying is like they knew Brooke was pretty darn good.
Yes.
We're like if Kalen can be a Behringer, you know, in this situation where like then they don't need another guy, right? Or I mean, I even think like the reverse is like. And this is not to compare any of these guys to Brady, but like Drew Henson was the star at Michigan and Tom Brady was the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Henson always would get the ball, like give it to Henson. And Brady would sort of be like, but then Brady comes in and does it. So
right.
Like, we don't know what we got, but like if you got another guy, like it can be infinitely important for your program, even if it's not like, you know, like great for that guy immediately.
Right.
But it will tell you, like, if we don't get somebody, it says a lot about Kalen. Probably.
Agree.
Because if he's not the guy,
then
they
maybe,
need somebody.
Because the thing that's interesting is you do have a guy in Harburg that won 5 games as a starter.
Yeah.
But I thought Sam McEwen made a great point on the radio where he said, okay, if you want Harburg to be your backup quarterback, you probably don't want to play him as an H-back or a tight end. Like, I don't know if you want your backup out there doing those kinds of things. No. And that's taking a good athlete and a guy that made plays, albeit from a different sort of situation. But Rule always talks about, like, we never even said in his last press conference, like, we've never kept a good player on the bench and a difference maker on the bench. Well, Harburg, I don't know if he could be a true difference maker at H-back, but, like, he was pretty... He made some pretty explosive plays at times as a starter. So I guess I make that point to say, like, your quarterback, I guess Kalen, to land the plane back to Kalen is like, depending on how you want to use Harburg, Kalen becomes really important.
Yes.
Because even though he could maybe technically be the third string guy, but if you're using Harburg in other ways,
he's got injury concerns.
There's a world where Kalen's really important. So I guess, yeah, well. In a weird way, I think what you just said is so spot on in that I think if they go get another quarterback, I think it says maybe a little bit more about Kalen than it does about, like, Dylan. Yeah.
Or how far the gap is between Dylan and Kalen. Because, like, if let's say this Kalen's just an average college quarterback, like most quarterbacks are, you probably go get the other quarterback. You probably go get somebody else. But, like, Kalen did the Elite 11 thing, and, like, I think he's got some serious potential. But, like, it will tell me a lot if they don't go get somebody.
I agree. I know we're doing a lot of reading, like, basically this whole pod has been, like, we're reading in between the lines of what people say and what they, like, we're,
it's
you know,
a
but,
lot
but
of,
that's
yeah.
spring, but that's kind of spring, you
that's
know?
What, it's all we can do.
That's all we can do. Next thing I want to learn in the spring is, like, is Dante Dowdell a real running back? And I'm not saying I hate to just completely turn the page on Ramir and Emmett Johnson. I'm not saying I'm turning the page on those guys completely. I am maybe a little bit in them being a, like, starting running back, top 5 running back in the Big Ten guys.
Okay, I think
is that unfair for me to say?
I think it's fair to say you know what you're getting out of Johnson
and Ramir
and probably Gabe Irvin. You probably know what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah.
And they're good players, but not great players.
They're not, I don't think any of those guys are starting true difference-making players in the Big Ten.
Probably
they're,
right.
They're not bad players. I'm not sitting here telling you Ramir Johnson's a bad player. They're not bad players. But there's a big difference between being a they're all serviceable running backs.
Johnson's been there for 4. He's already has 4. You know, like.
And so and maybe I'm putting too much on Dowdell, but he just seems like the most. And maybe it's just because he's the new guy and what
he's
I know
new
least.
And we
he's
don't
the new
know.
Kid. At,
yeah.
He's the new girl that walked into class. I'm familiar with the girls in the back row. There's a new girl that walked in.
That girl is not only hot,
school,
but my guess is she's probably cool too, right? Like, that's it. Like, those other girls are hot, but you know, they're just, we don't like them anymore, right?
We are in homeroom right
they're
now.
They're flawed. Those ones are flawed.
We already know
that
about.
That girl can't be flawed.
We already know about a lot of these girls. Here comes a new girl. And you just are like, this has got to be, this girl's going to be great.
There's no doubt she'll be cool.
This is Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah, she's got it all.
She has everything we've ever wanted.
Yeah, there's no way she's flawed. Not her. No way.
And I get how stupid that is. But even Matt Rule has said that he's, so far, Dowdell has flashed and made some big physical runs, which is, again, good to hear. But I also, and I've said this a million times, and that's why I'm looking forward to the spring game. You can usually tell pretty quickly if a running back has it or not.
Yes.
Like, it didn't take very long with Amir or Rex, or when we did our Husker Classic recaps, when a freshman, Lawrence Phillips, got put into that game against Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't take very long. Now, you, because we were pretty young when LP really burst onto the scenes. I mean, I remember LP being amazing, but it took, like, watching it back, you were like, whoa. I mean, you and I both couldn't believe how quickly LP was like, okay, that guy's not like kind of good. That guy's really good.
Yeah, you just know. You just know. And Dowdell, and this is all like, this, the, I want to see
him.
No,
we're going to marry him.
I want to see him. But no, this is might be a down. Like, when I hear people describe how he runs, it's not a person that's like a superstar.
Right.
I think he's going to be, if he's going to be useful, he'll be a more of a lunch pail. Like, he's more of a one cut back guy, which is usually not like, that's not the most explosive guy.
Yeah.
It's not,
maybe his running style doesn't lend itself to blowing you away in one.
I kind of get the sense that that's who he is. Like, and he's not going to be a world changer, but can he be our number one guy and be serviceable? That's what he has. We'll find out. But I actually don't think there's many circumstances that this guy will be amazing. I think from what I've heard about him, I'm just like, you hear people talk about somebody differently.
So you're saying he's more
this
of like,
is taking the words.
Dowdell's restaurant serves meat and potatoes.
Yes, it's meat and potatoes.
The menu is just one page. It's not a front to back. It's not a book. It's not the Cheesecake Factory.
So pork and curly fries, steak and tater tots. It's like there's just go down the line. There's a lot of those.
Here are the steps at Dowdell's restaurant. Step one, pick a meat. Step two, pick a potato. Step three, pay. Have a good day. Like, yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Great cash flow. You know, not going to make a ton of money off here, but, you know, we stay above, stay in business.
Well, I was hoping.
Nick, this is all off of what somebody else has read. I've seen a few highlights.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the guy play yet. I don't know.
Yeah, because like Amir was flashy, and even Rex was sneaky. Like, Rex could drop you.
Yeah.
Rex was
just like such a good football player.
Yeah, there was something where I'm like, oh, you.
He's
and
a
that's
special
what I'm hoping, like,
football
oh, watch
player.
Him move. He just knows how to.
He can read. He can catch. He can see the field. He has all the. He was a total package with like football skills. Like, now Dowdell, like they say, he looks the part. Like, he's a shiny car guy. Like, it's shiny. The car is shiny.
I love a shiny
right?
car.
And
well, here's the
that's
problem.
That's a good place to start.
We were so starving. A part of me is embarrassed at how we were with him, but like, we were so starving for a real running back that you and I kind of drank the Jacquez Yant Kool-Aid for a quick moment. We kind of
fell down against Minnesota, and I was like, I'm done.
You fired.
Well, I think here's what it is. Like, I think those are the moments where you go, oh yeah, that's right. I can't trust you anymore.
Right.
Went the wrong way
a couple of times.
You went the wrong way, and you slip on a fourth and one where it's like,
can't do that, dude.
Can't do it. Yeah. Not in the, you know, it's not.
Okay.
The good ones, like Rex, doesn't slip there.
No.
And that's how you just know. You know why he doesn't? Because he's Rex.
Yes. That's it. Okay. This is basically like the same one, just insert wide receiver instead of running back. Oh, and I'm curious if Jamal Banks can be that guy for the Wake Forest transfer. I hope we hear more about him. I hope we learn more just in general about the wide receiver situation because, man, those. For as much as the offense struggled and the wide receiver talent overall and then the injuries on top of it all made it so it was just decimated.
Yeah.
So I hope we learned something there. Do you have any more we can move on to the next one.
Banks won the like the good guy of the offseason award. Like, he's the hardest worker, he's the leader that can, you know.
Right.
He won that award for like the most positively spoken about like probably person of the off season. Like, and he's, I think because he's a transfer, it was like surprising how much praise he got.
So hopefully we hear more about that. I want to hear about Raiola killing people. I want to hear about Dante Dowdell killing people. I want to hear about Jamal Banks killing people.
That'd be nice.
That is what I want to hear. Next thing. Big news. I'm excited to be working with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today and use the referral code BAH, my last name, BAHE. That's referral code BAH, BAHE. See you at the game. I've heard some people talk about this defense. This defense could be a top 10 defense. And I suppose maybe in that's possible. That's possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can feel that level of domination throughout the spring. Like, for that to happen, I mean, so last year, you remember Ty Robinson, Polar Bear emerged great. Was it Lenhart? That's the good freshman really popped. Tackling across the board was great. You talked about that all the time in our recap pods. The depth on the defense was great. It just was like the amount of people that made like a big tackle on like a smoke screen, and you'd be like, I've never seen that guy in my life, and he made a play. But where does this defense need to make a leap this spring to you? Is there one position? Is there one? Is it still pass rush? Even though they were pretty good at that? That slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, the 3-3-5, though, I think is, you know, you just, I feel like I've watched a few things on Urban Meyer just talk about how much, like, it bothered him as a coach. Like, yes. I think it's like we're doing this 3-3-5 well. Now, this is our second year. Like, we put way more tape out on it. So, like, people should, I think we're going to have a little bit less of an advantage this year. But, you know, they can off-season scout Tony White, like, all year, right? So they're going to probably watch a lot of film on him. But, you know, it's like we've got a lot of the same guys coming back. So I think I feel pretty good about the defense. But really, it's like Ty and the Polar Bear, like if they can take it to another level, I think everybody else will follow. But, yeah, I think, you know, pass rush, secondary was pretty good.
Solid.
You know, they just got to – I think if they all continue to develop, we should be fine. But we are losing Reimer.
That was the only thing I was concerned about.
Underrated for communication and for just, like, you know, getting to the right spot, you know, making tackles. Like, those guys, underrated how much football those two have played.
I mean, how many years was Reimer the starter? He was three?
Basically, he played some as a freshman, so I think he was almost 4 years of starting.
That's just, I mean, you started a lot of games, your brother started a lot of games. There just was a level of it that you had by the time you got to your senior year that just came from, like, you know what, I've been on the field a lot.
You see a lot of plays, you've taken a lot of reps, and, like, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but, like, God, you don't give up near as much as like when you're these like young guys who you know, come in and they bust because they're like, it's just all moving too fast for them sometimes.
So I will say Reimer, linebacker spot, just curious how that gets filled. And then I'm always going to say, like, your pass rush just can always get better. Like, just always can.
Yeah, and we had, you know, Princewell, Linehart, you had Dr. James.
The baby.
Dr. James Andrews. Yeah. So, and then who else? Oh, and Jamari Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, between those four guys, MJ Sherman, you know, how much better are those guys this year than they were last year? If those guys make a jump, Polar Bear and Ty especially is the one that, like, you saw the, like, chasing three. Like, he was coming off surgery. He didn't feel like he has best year. Like, if that guy finds another place, then we're really in a spot to be a top 10 defense then. But, like, that comes with Ty, Polar Bear, and all those defensive linemen elevating, finding a couple more linebackers. I mean, that's right. A lot of things that have to be in the right spot, because that's what it takes to be a top 10 defense.
Yes.
You can't be, well, Ty's better and everybody else is the same. We're not a top 10 defense, in my mind, if that happens.
I agree with that.
We have to be good across the board. And it might not come as easy as it did last year. God, it might be harder.
I'd have to imagine all those guys got to be at a different level of comfort in the system, too. Like, yeah, people got tape on the 3-3-5, but man, those guys got to be a lot more comfortable.
Maybe, but it may have been a thing like we just had an advantage last year that's going to be less this year. So I wouldn't take anything for granted. Like, oh, we'll for sure be a top 10 defense because we have a lot of the same. Like, no, it might just get a lot harder to be that good this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have Taylor on my mind because of what we just talked about. Like, once tape got out on Taylor, things changed. I mean, he still had a really good – he didn't have as good a year second year as he did his third – like 2012, you know, I think he was first team All-Big Ten – but like he didn't have the same that first year he made some splash runs and splash plays that once you figure someone out it changes things a little bit.
Yep.
But the other thing that I hope we learn is, will the turnover issue get addressed a little bit? Like, keep in mind, Nebraska dead last in the country last year with 31 turnovers, and remember the spring game was filled with turnovers. So it's easy to be like, it's the spring game. It's like, well, they were, if I'm not mistaken, I thought I remember the number 8. I thought they had 8 fumbles in the spring game. And lo and behold, the season comes and they were a turnover fest. I guess, can you address and improve that in spring? Or does just a new quarterback solve a lot of that stuff?
So I don't know if you had this in your questions, but you know, I think this might be a good time to talk about the spring leagues.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a part of maybe this question, I think. Right. So,
yep.
Because
I was going
to
ask,
this is new to both of us. Like we've kind of been out of it, but now it's like just reading about the spring leagues, right? Where it's like, you got the three teams, was it the Bug Eaters,
Rattlesnake Boys,
and the Golden Knights, maybe, Golden Knights. Right? So these are the three. So they have three different teams with an offense and a defense.
Yes.
They've broken it up. It's not like the first team, the second team. It's like it's interdispersed. They have GMs.
Yes.
Each team is a GM.
Garcia Castaneda, Elliot Brown, and Deshaun Singleton are the GMs.
Yes. And I got to tell you, I absolutely loved this when I was reading about it. And listening, they had the guy.
Yeah, the guy explained.
The guy with the hair doing the video.
Yes.
And he was like, and then like if you win the day, and they have points for stops, points for points, you know, for – you know, touchdowns this, stop is that, interceptions this.
Yep.
And the winner of the day who has the most points, right? Like you get to protect like 8 guys on your team get to protect. You can't have these guys.
They can't take it off your team. Yeah.
And then, but like same way, if you're you get to trade for the most or whatever.
Yep.
And so the same way, if you lose the day, you get.
There's a good video on Twitter, everybody, that will explain
on how many of your guys you can protect. So it's like, it's this weird like new world where, gosh, if you're playing in that, isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's a good way. I mean, because that was going to be the last thing I wanted to hit on with you, but we're getting into it because I think it's. I'd have to imagine this is a way to make spring more competitive and more fun.
Yes, and so one, it's more fun. Two, I think Matt Rhule took Tom Osborne like at his word that like they always had multiple different teams practicing against each other. Like he always had 3 fields going, right? So there's no doubt he's influenced by Osborne. He just was like, I'm going to do that. You said to do that. I'm going to do it. Right?
Right.
So he's getting everybody more reps, but by making it like a team, right, he's making it a more competitive situation versus like the ones, the twos and the scrubbers, right? Like,
because I'd have to imagine, you know, and this is one of the hard things about football, and even you see it in basketball too, is like, when your starters are going against the backup scout team guys, like it can be such, especially in football, where there's just a strength element where you're not even necessarily getting a great look.
Yeah.
But I guess do you prefer this to one versus ones? Do you almost, because this is kind of a mix.
I just love it because I've never done this before.
Yeah, I was like,
it's new and it's different. And so I was reading Mitch Sherman's one of his articles, and he says in 5 of the Huskers' 7 losses last season, they had possession late with a chance to win or tie. Four times the final offensive play was an interception. So then they had the, you know, there's a video cut in the Matt Rule talking about, you know, this new league and how do you get rid of these
backbreaking things,
the turnovers. And he basically said, like, he said, how do you go from being afraid to make a mistake to confident? He said, we just want to play. He goes, less drills, less, like, we want these guys playing. And right. I go, I feel like there's been a part of me that's wanted that. Like, how do you do that? How do you make it about playing the game?
Yes.
Because you don't, it's not like basketball, it's go play pickup, right? Right. It's not these other sports, you're playing the sport. Football is so off-season, lifting weights, workouts, and then you do drills, and you do, you know, 9-on-7. It's like, that's not playing the game, right? Yep. The game is playing, and they're doing that with this league, at least. It's like, you are actually, like, you're making it a game. You're playing. Like, I love the idea, and this is where Matt Rule winning the offseason again with his messaging, like, I love that. You're playing the game.
I liked it when I heard it, but you, the way you just sold it to me, even I like it even more now. Just, I mean, I think one of the hard things to do is to make the monotonous nature of the off season. Like, how do you spice that up in a way that isn't totally taking away from getting better?
Yeah.
And this does that and then some to me.
I mean, you know why? Like, here's a, for instance, like, this is, you know, 4 years with Bill Callahan and this is every program in the country. It's like, all right, now it's okay. You do individuals. Now it's time for some 9-on-7. Like,
right.
Well, guess what? You know what they don't do in 9-on-7? They don't throw. You know it's going to be a run. So it's like, okay, they're going to change the play, but like, all you have to do is be really physical and do get in your gap, stop the run, because like, they don't throw. That's not a game. That's not, you're not playing a game. You're playing
the drill.
9-on-7.
You're playing the drill.
And I don't think I got better from 9-on-7 other than like, it was physical.
Yeah, you learn how, you learn. Yeah. I
but
mean,
it's
which
not
is,
the game.
Right.
And so Nebraska, we have, you know, let's see, 7 losses by this much, this little teeny bit, right? And you go, well, what's the difference? Like, well, when it's crunch time and we're playing the game and we got to make something happen, we just like don't know how to do that.
Right. Yeah, there's something.
You know,
to-
it's like the best players are just so good in those moments because they have played the game the most. Right. I want the guys that are the best at playing, like Rex Burkhead, when it's crunch time, like he's not the most athletic guy in the field, but like he's the probably the, if not the best football player on the field. He has the instincts. Like that's because he's played a lot of football in his life.
Yeah.
It's not from, he just did a lot of 9-on-7. Like he's just really good at the game.
It just would be fascinating. I wonder if this will make, do you think this will make evaluating the players easier or harder for the coaches?
You will see them in a different setting. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
You see guys that rise to the occasion of like, well now it's real. It's not 9-on-7. It's like you have to go do something.
Because like obviously, like, you know, being a linebacker with, you know, I mean, you had Carricker and Jay Moore. Like, being a linebacker with those two guys in front of you is a lot different when all of a sudden you don't have, you know, so in this instance, you don't have Nash and Ty. How good of a middle linebacker are you now?
Yeah.
You know, like those kinds of things.
You're going
like,
to see it.
Like, you're going to see it.
You're going to see if you're still good, like you're very good.
Yes.
Right? Or let's take a look at this. So looking at the way they've structured the team, guess who gets most of the starters of the offensive line? Harburg.
Right.
And Raiola, I would argue, got his O-line is Sealgren, Mascua, Mancino, Brandel, Pyle, and Bricks. And Mascua's played some ball.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of these guys are backups and freshmen.
Right.
Right? So they didn't give him the starting O-line. Their receivers are, he's got Barney, Bell, and Lloyd. So he's got some good receivers. But, you know, it's not necessarily the starters either.
He's got Ty on the deep. You know, that defense is Ty Robinson. You know, but like you learn it's going to be it. His running back is Quentin Ives.
Yeah, who's not, and- who's by, I don't know if he's second or third or fourth string, right? But he definitely didn't. They didn't give him Fedoni, right?
No. Kalen's got boa constrictor.
Kalen's got the boa constrictor, and then
Raiola's
Fedonia,
got Lindenmeyer.
Yeah, and Harburg and Fedonia are roommates, so that's the course they're going to get.
Yes. So, you sold me on it. I like this.
Nick, it's competitive. Like, if I would love this because I would demand to be GM, and I would be, like, scheming. I'd be scheming for players, and I would be, like, uber competitive to win every single day. I would love this. This would make spring fun too.
Because I'd imagine a lot of spring is just, because it's practice, and a lot of practice is just drills. Like when you're just doing drill after drill after drill after drill after drill after drill, that gets to be like.
There's some of it, it's good for you, but like, Nick, I just can't tell you how, it's almost like boring too. Like,
yeah, it is a little bit.
It's
boring.
You just
wanna play.
They always did rep tracker. I always led the team in reps overall.
Right.
Both sides of the ball. Who took the most reps?
Bo Root.
Always me. And it was me and McEwen. Always. It was like hundreds of reps more. They'd wear us out.
Right.
And it was just like, we didn't need all those reps, but I would have much rather had a lot more like play. Like, let's go play the game.
Right.
We just had so many reps. It was ridiculous.
No, I guess to tie it back, you think there's a way that this could help with some of the turnover things because it's more game. You're playing the game more. It's more game situations.
I think you get more comfortable in game situations versus like, because I think game situations are just very different than like 9-on-7. Right. I don't know why. Like, yeah, 9-on-7, you're running the ball, but like you just get in this mode where it's like, it just like, it's too structured almost where the game is a little bit more. Like there's too much like uncertainty with how things happen.
Sure.
There's more certainty in 9-on-7. Like, well, I know this is how it's going to go, where like it just happens differently when it's real. When it's real and it's live and the game is on, like it just goes differently. The ball bounces differently. People come from different, it's just
right.
Like, it's why people fumble and people throw interceptions more. It's because it just looks different.
We'll end with this. I can't wait to learn more about what this offense ultimately is going to look like. Now, I don't know how much they'll show in the spring. Who knows? But it's you think about last year, whether it was Satterfield or Rhule, they talked about running the quarterback. They talked about huddling up. They talked about running the football. You had Jeff Sims as your quarterback. You had also Heinrich Harburg as your quarterback. Like, it makes sense for that to be the case. Okay, well, what does with Dylan Raiola and then Glenn Thomas now in the room with his maybe in thoughts on switching up the offense? Like, am I crazy? I got to imagine. I mean, they were running some pure option last year. Like, I got to think that things are going to look a lot different, and I wonder what that looks like and what we learned there.
With Kalen and Raiola, like, the run game – to me, almost goes away.
Yes.
Not completely, but almost. Like, Pat Mahomes, like, you wouldn't call him a running quarterback, but, like, if it's 4th-and-1 in a big game, like, Andy Reid might do a run-pass option with Mahomes. Like, I think you saw it. Maybe it was in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Where it was like, you know, motion him and Kelce, your two best players. It's like, yeah, a run. Am I going to throw it or am I going to run, right? He's going to give him that in the most critical play, but, like, Harburg was like, 1st-and-10, let's run Harburg.
Yes.
2nd-and-4, let's give it to Harburg again. Like, Raiola, Kalen, that is no longer the game plan. It should not be. Those guys are different bodies. They will not run the ball like that. It's a different game.
So I'm just so interested. Okay, well, then what is that? Because I'm with you. What is that? I wonder what things will look like. They've always referenced the San Francisco 49ers as being a team that they kind of want to emulate.
Sure.
Maybe that'll be kind of a – give you a mental picture of what the offense would look like. But – I think Dylan's athletic enough to be like, he's not a, like you talked about with Mahomes. Mahomes isn't like running, like it's not like Lamar Jackson,
no.
Cam Newton design runs, but Mahomes makes big plays with his feet.
Yeah.
Like, I think Dylan could maybe do some of that.
I don't know if Dylan, but I don't even know if Dylan's as fast as Mahomes, though.
Oh, I don't think he is. But
to me, he's like a big pro looking quarterback. Like, use him like that. Like,
so
run when you only need to run him. Otherwise, like, he just, like, he'll escape and run, you know, QB scrambles. But, like, I think the QB run game with him, my first impression is, like, just don't do it.
Last year we heard about the fullback. We heard about running the quarterback. We heard about all these things that I just am not sure that's how it's going to look quite this year. And I wonder when we get a peek at the spring game, just how much different
it looks.
I like
the idea of having a fullback sometimes, but like I also like think you got to have a really good fullback. Like, I don't know, do we do?
Yeah, do play a fullback if you got a good fullback, but don't play a fullback for the sake of playing a fullback.
Exactly. I mean, that's where I don't know. To me, like that's a – I like the idea of things as well, but what I like better is like getting your best guys on the field.
Right.
Using what you got to their best abilities. Like, play to all these guys' strengths. Don't do things they're not good at.
Tell you what, and well, because that was it. That was the last thing here. We're an hour. We did it, Bo. We said we wanted to go, and we said we wanted to go 45 minutes, but we knew it ended up being an hour. I wonder what, like, when you get to keep going back to the Spring League thing real quick, how does it work? And maybe I'm putting you on the spot. Like, when you say you get to do each day, they draft different, or is it at the end for the? I don't know how that works.
I don't know when the switch is, the protected thing is. It could be every day. Let's say it's every day, just for the sake of this. If it's every day, like, and I think the number one team, you can protect 8 guys. So basically,
the GM's protecting his 8 best players, and then I think you get the most.
So in theory, the more
you could stack your team.
Yeah, so the worst team, if they're only protecting 4, you're basically, you could poach upwards of X many from, you know, their unprotected guys. So that's the hard part. If you lose, if you're the worst team, you got, let's say you got 10 good guys. Like, oh, we got the whole offensive line, starting offensive line. Was like, well, we only protect 4 of those guys.
Right.
And that means you can't protect anybody else on your defensive line.
It's almost the inverse of how, like, you know, in the NBA, and like the worse you are, the better draft pick you get, and maybe the more draft picks you get, depending on how, it's like the opposite of that. It's like the more you win, the better you get to shape your roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, really the key is that first couple days, like if you can get a couple wins and like, you're a good GM in your draft, like then you should be like hard to beat, you know, from then on. So we'll see how it plays out, but you know, I haven't
it's
seen
it's unique.
Enough.
It's worth, I mean,
it's cool. I think I like the, I don't know. It seems like that's a pretty big turnover. Maybe they want that. They want to turn over a lot of guys, but I like the idea of it not getting too skewed. I mean, obviously if you're doing it, you want to get the best.
Right.
But I like the idea of keeping it like competitive.
It's very competitive, and that's kind of been the name of the game for Matt Rhule. Okay, we're an hour in. All right, we'll get more onto a regular cadence now.
Yeah,
as we're officially basketball season's in the rearview here, and you know we're 20 days, roughly 3 weeks from the spring game.
Oh my!
Which we got a lot to talk about. Okay. Oh, Dante Dowdell, he walked into the class. Play cool.
This
Be cool.
Is the one.
Be cool.